are live. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. And we are going to continue to talk about the collapse of the dollar, the collapse of the U.S. economy, what's coming up at the G20 on the 24th and 25th, and really what they're getting you ready for, what they're gearing up for. And what they're gearing up to tell you is the dollar is dead. It will no longer be the world reserve currency. They set the SDR up in April at the last G20. They just kind of casually said, yes, we have this new special drawing rights unit. We're going to start moving towards that as the IMF and the World Bank and the Federal Reserve really start to become one entity. And that progression has continued to today, where on mainstream news, on Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they are openly talking about how the dollar will no longer be the world reserve currency and that we will have to go to a global currency. Now, I don't know if this means that we're going to have a hard global currency such as the one that Medvedev showed, I think, about 2 months ago. He showed this coin that was a world currency. I don't know if that's going to be the model. I don't know if it's going to be a coin or a piece of paper or perhaps, you know, a large statement that they just give to banks and other institutions. But I do know that the dollar is going to suffer. And when the dollar suffers, we suffer. And they're going to try to soften the blow, soften the punch by telling you they're moving towards this green economy. That's what this carbon credit trading system is all about. It's about getting you into a system where you feel guilty for having bags of garbage, multiple cars, too many children, a big house, a large heating bill, and you get taxed to no end as your currency is being devalued at a point where you can't keep up. We are at second world nation status right now. In fact, the news is the dollar is the lowest. Here it is right here. Bloomberg.com. Dollar falls to a one-year low as economy spurs high yield demand. The dollar dropped to the lowest level in a year versus the euro as Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Espernaki's declaration that the recession is likely over, which is a complete and total lie. It's a cover story for this next sentence. Which led investors to sell the U.S. currency and buy riskier assets. No, they're dumping the U.S. currency. They're dumping the dollar because they know it's on its last hurrah. I know this is an uncomfortable situation, folks. I know this isn't the greatest thing to talk about, but the dollar is dead. It's dead. It's deader than a doornail. I don't know what this is going to mean for me and my ilk, you and yours, but I do know it's not a good thing. I don't know if they're just going to get rid of the dollar altogether. No, it's still going to be our currency, but it's not going to be the world reserve currency. And they've been gearing this up for years and years and years and hyping it up now in the past few months, talking about Russia and China wanting a new global reserve currency. And then about 2 weeks ago, it was the headline over at the Telegraph. Here it is right here. UN wants a new global currency to replace the dollar. The dollar should be replaced with a global currency, the United Nations has said, proposing the biggest overhaul of the world's monetary system since the Second World War. And remember, the end of the Second World War was a huge achievement for the globalists. And it was a huge achievement for the globalists because they failed after the First World War to get the United States behind the League of Nations. Even though it was Woodrow Wilson's baby and there was the 14 points, most Americans didn't buy into it. They didn't want this form of global governance. They saw that it was threatening to their sovereignty, to their freedom, to their Constitution and Bill of Rights. However, after the Second World War, they were able to promote this agenda of a United Nations. And guess what? This time, the United States took the reins and said, yes, we're going to become members. So now the United Nations is propped up as really the apex of global governance. Okay. It's what the front is going to be for how things are going to be run. And why is this important? Well, it's important because Barack Obama is set to be the first sitting president, the first sitting president to be the head of the United Nations Security Council. Isn't that a conflict of interest? They're about globalization. They're about the end of sovereignty. They're about a carbon tax for humanity, not for big business, though, not for big business, for you and me. And Barack Obama's going to head this thing? Give me a break. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
I'm not a prophet, and I won't preach to
Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. And let's just go through some of these mainline articles right here to prove my point, what we've been talking about. In the first segment, we're also going to take your calls, 888-201-2244 or directly 512-646-1776. Here it is. This is the Financial Times. Obama to seal U.S.-UN relationship. Now, of course, we've had a relationship with the UN since its inception. We really backed it, said it was a great thing. We need this. However, what we've done is through these treaties, which are really just fronts, these treaties mean almost nothing. Do you really think that the Middle Eastern nations out there, the Arab nations, actually go by what they said? No, anytime they want to poke a hole in it, like they did with Saddam's regime in Iraq, they do. They say, oh, well, you know, they didn't go to this weapons inspection code and we're going to have Hans Blix and somebody else come in and search the area. And it doesn't matter if they don't find weapons of mass destruction. And it doesn't matter if they put out papers saying they don't think they have them. We're just going to go in anyway. That's what the United Nations is all about. It's about bullying smaller nations out of their sovereignty. And now Barack Obama, because we could talk to any nation, okay? I'm not saying we shouldn't have conferences. I'm not saying we shouldn't have open communications, talks, trade with other nations. Obviously, we should. I'm not completely against all globalism. But when it starts to infringe on my border, on my constitution, on my Bill of Rights, on my dollar, my currency, yes, I'm against that. So Obama to seal U.S.-UN relationship, again, Barack Obama will cement the new cooperative relationship between the U.S. and the United Nations this month when he becomes the first American president to chair its 15-member Security Council. So, again, Barack Obama being prompted to become the president of the world. He's our new leader. And I don't know if we have that magazine here, but it was President of the Planet was the headline. And he's been deified in almost every major publication out there, from Newsweek to Time Magazine to the cover of the Rolling Stone. They're propping this guy up as the new leader. And then the UN says it wants a new global currency to replace the dollar. A new global currency to replace the dollar. The dollar should be replaced with a global currency, the United Nations has said, proposing the biggest overhaul of the world's monetary system since the Second World War. And I don't necessarily think that they need a world conflict to do this. In a radical report, the UN Conference on Trade and Development has said the system of currencies and capital rules which binds the world economy is not working properly and was largely responsible for the financial and economic crisis. Totally bull. We have this financial and economic crisis because the elite of the world are trying to squeeze the little guy, which is apparently what this new capitalism, a love story is about with Michael Moore's new picture. I have to watch it. I think he's in the wrong place blaming capitalism for what has happened. No, we should be blaming the top. They're the ones that squeezed us out of our homes. They're the ones that are squeezing us out of our property. They're the ones saying, yes, you are going to pay higher taxes. They're the ones saying, yes, you will have to pay for health care or we're going to penalize you. It's going to be like auto insurance. That's what Barack Obama said on the House floor. And I'll say it again. That, what is his name? Wilson there? Joe Wilson? Is that his name? I believe it's Joe Wilson. He said, you lie. Great. He should have been screaming, you're a liar, we need the truth. I don't care if it's a presidential address. If you're a member of the House and you're sincere, you really believe what you're saying, you are fighting for the American people, you should be screaming at the top of your lungs, not quietly saying, you lie, and then I'll apologize the next day. It doesn't make you a racist to comment on the policies of the current administration. And then the media wanted to make it about racism. Folks, I wouldn't care if the commander-in-chief was purple with a huge pink polka-dotted forehead. Okay? If he was trying to pull what Barack Obama and his administration is trying to pull right now regarding healthcare, I would have said the same thing. And remember, they're going to gear you up for this new green economy. It's the buzzword. We're going green. Pittsburgh showcases green economy at G20 summit. So as they ease you into a new global currency, as they say, you know what, the dollar's just not going to work as the global currency anymore. Barack Obama's not going to tell you it's a bad thing. He's going to tell you it's the best thing since breakfast, that it's going to help the world. The collapse of the U.S. steel industry forced Drew Mihalik in 1977 to leave Pittsburgh, a one-time capital of industry that U.S. President Barack Obama will show to world leaders this week as a bold example of a new green economy. Mihalik, 58, recalls bubbling cauldrons of metal during summer jobs as U.S. steel as a college student. Now he works in a dust-free workplace as environmental health and safety manager at Solar Power Industries, a maker of solar cells. Again, no one's against solar energy, but they're using solar energy and, you know, other forms of alternatives such as wind and water energy and saying this is the solution. They're never going to give us the solution. If they wanted to give us the solution, we would have the electric car in mass by now. Not some crappy hybrid, a real electric car. Let me explain it to you. In the 80s, they had an electric car that got 88 miles to the charge. Watch Who Killed the Electric Car, narrated by Martin Sheen, of course, the father of outspoken celebrity activist Charlie Sheen. By the way, Charlie's going to be on the Emmys tonight. And let's hope he wins, because he says he's got an open stage. And I truly believe that he will take it to the next level, as he's done in the past couple of weeks. I mean, that open letter to the president opened so many more eyes up to 9/11 truth, got so many more people to Google these facts. That 6-minute video that Aaron Dykes put out was simply amazing. It really consolidated a lot of the good information about 9/11 truth in a short period of time. And of course, with the star power of the number one paid actor in the world, it can, I'm not sure even what it's up to, but last time I checked, it was 500,000 last week. So I don't know if it's up over 1 million, if it's close to 1 million. That's just one copy of it. It's been copied hundreds of times and posted. So that's positive. But again, they always take positivity and they turn it into negativity. We want, I want solar energy. I don't want an electric bill every day or every month. I would love to be able to get off the grid, no electric bill, the sun provides for me, one-time fee. But do you think that the controllers, that the elite out there want that for humanity? That you pay one time for something and then you're fine for the rest of your life? Of course they don't want that. I mean, look at the car industry, the Tucker. They didn't want a car that lasted 30, 40, 50 years. You know what? Because you don't buy another car for 30, 40, 50 years. And they want to constantly sell you stuff. This is about consumerism. It's mind control. And so he's going to go up there and he's going to preach about this guy who once worked in the evil steel industry and people who once worked in the evil coal industry now can work greener jobs based on solar energy. But what this is a real redistribution of wealth, where you have to pay exorbitant amounts for regular power because it's not green enough. All the while, the dollar collapses, your value goes down and down and down and down, and then they say, you know what, it doesn't make any sense for the United States to be the United States of America anymore. It's time for the North American Union. We really have to work with our neighbors in Mexico and Canada to get through this tough economic time. And remember, they're telling you it's over, the recession's over. Meanwhile, the dollar is at its lowest point since 2008. Give me a break. And if you doubt that this carbon tax is just for you and that this carbon credit system is going, people say to me, oh, this carbon credit system is going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Big business hates it. They're going to have to clean up their act, big business. EU, plastics, textiles industries win CO2 cost exemption. Cost exemption, okay? Let's realize it. The big guys aren't paying for jack diddly squat. It's me and you. Europe's plastics, textiles, plywood, and cast iron makers won a battle on Friday to be spared the cost of buying permits for their climate warming emissions, European Commission documents showed. And they should have won that challenge. But the problem is that me and you, Joe Average, we're not going to win the challenge. Yeah, big business is going to win time and time again. It's going to kind of be brushed under the rug. Me and you? No, we're going to be paying our carbon tax all across the globe. So again, this is not about reining in big business and their polluting ways. This is about controlling the moms and pops and those shops of the world. All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to Mark in Georgia. Mark, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Man, how are you?
How are you, sir? I'm
trying to explain to people, you really think a devil worshiper is going to run on a pro-human sacrifice, pro-tyranny platform, and then go, what? Like, excuse me, the devil's been in the business of deceiving mankind for, what, 6,000 years? Oh, shame is not admitting that you've been had. The shame is in not even admitting the possibility you've been had, like all the rest of us have. By the way, I've got a YouDo news account. It's Mark Anabaptist, like the radical reformers who were basically slaughtered by the so-called reformers. Yeah, right. Does what I'm saying make sense to you so far, or am I making
Well, no, I agree. I mean, obviously, the elite out there, I mean, you just look at what they do. They act like they're Christian conservatives, people like Bush and others, and even Newt Gingrich. They get up there, and Newt Gingrich is a real talking head these days, and they say, oh, we're conservative. But then they go off and do pagan rituals every summer in the Bohemian Grove Club. And obviously, they're more than hypocritical. Obviously, they're masking an agenda. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes. We'll be back with your calls after this. 888-201-2244, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. Folks, we are back. The Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We're taking your calls. Eric in Pennsylvania. Eric, you're on the line.
Hey, yes, Jason.
How you doing?
Somebody left me a comment on my MySpace last night. It's about this film that's supposed to come out on Tuesday. You might have heard of it. It's called Loose Change, 9/11, and American Coup.
Yes.
Narrated by Charlie Sheen?
No.
No? You did the trailer?
Well, no, I didn't do the trailer, but I've seen the movie. No, it's not narrated by Charlie Sheen. It's narrated by Danny Sinjata, actually.
Oh, wow. He sounds a lot like him. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're talking about the electric car. They had one in 1980. Actually, one of the first cars they ever had was called a Bakersfield. It was in 1908. It was an electric car.
Well, yeah. No, absolutely. I'm talking about just ready for the public, but they wouldn't allow the public to buy the electric car that I'm talking about. They only allowed them to lease it. And then at the end of their option, none of them were actually able to buy their automobiles. And what they did is they rounded those automobiles up and put them into a crusher. God forbid, you know, engineers who are working in the 90s or even in modern times today, because it is 2009. We're almost to 2010. Yet another decade has almost gone by. If they were able to look at an automobile made 20 years ago with an electric engine, I would guess they could either double or triple its capacity in miles. You know, I don't think it would be out of the realm that we could get 160 or 240 miles to a charge. Do you, Eric?
Not at all, especially with solar panels on your car is sitting in a parking lot in the sun all day. I mean, I don't understand why we don't have solar panels on our cars.
Well, there are some electric solar hybrids out there, but they don't want this out there for mass distribution. Imagine a solar-powered automobile. I mean, that would be even more off the charts. How are they going to regulate the sun? Oh, yeah, they're going to block it. And, you know, that's one of the stories I've got here, Eric. I got to get to that one. I thank you for the call. Now they're openly talking about these NASA experiments. They are shooting aerosols into the air, or what is it? Particulates is another word that they use here. But when they did this new one, which I guess were rockets and not planes. Remember, the planes don't exist. Chemtrails don't exist, or prolonged contrails. No, I'm sorry. Persistent contrails is the term that Rosalind Peterson likes to use. But they don't exist on the record. But there is all this documentation about a NASA program pertaining to them. And now this is a NASA program. Scientists launched a rocket experiment aimed at creating artificial high-altitude clouds on Saturday evening, sparking reports of strange lights in the sky. And again, The Obama administration just came out 4 or 5 months ago and said, yeah, we're thinking about shooting particulates into the upper atmosphere to block the sun. And even Stern commented on it, believe it or not. And then it just kind of fell off. Oh, we're not going to talk about it anymore. And then this project came up, the project called Charred Aerosol Release Experiment, CARE. You got to love the acronym. Oh, we care so much about you. Remember, this is all about how much they love you and they want to take care of you, because that's the role of government. They took care of you so well when they allowed Factor VIII to go out into hemophiliacs to get into the populace so we could have a mass, mass, mass pandemic called HIV and AIDS. Okay, the hype on that is just, you look at that hype. I remember having the fear of God put into me in the 80s about how we were all going to get AIDS and die. Don't sleep with a girl unprotected. We don't really know how, you have to be very careful out there. Meanwhile, they give Factor VIII to all these hemophiliacs. Because remember, they said initially it spread through hemophiliacs as they needed, they were blood donors. No, you injected hemophiliacs with HIV and AIDS with Factor VIII. And then when you got caught doing it in the United States, where did you take that Factor VIII? You didn't take it off the market. Nobody got prosecuted. No one got in trouble. No, you moved it over to Europe and did the same thing. Those are the kind of eugenics programs they actually run that have been proven, folks, that are on MSNBC, on Scarborough Country. If anybody could get me that clip in better quality, I would kill for it. Or a story like it mainstream. It doesn't have to be the Scarborough story. If somebody can point me in the direction of a better quality version of that story, I would really appreciate it. MySpace.com/Jason Burmes. Facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior. Back to this aerosol thing. Let's see. The clouds were intended to stimulate naturally occurring phenomena called noctilent clouds, which are the highest clouds in the atmosphere. This was really essentially at the boundary of space, said Wayne Scales, a scientist at Virginia Tech. Now remember, the persistent contrails and the planes, that doesn't exist. But now we have NASA programs going into the upper atmosphere where they admit, yeah, we are doing weather modification and we are making clouds. Why would they want to block the sun? The sun is our life force. We need the sun, folks. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Back after this, taking your calls. PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. Drifting along in the same stale shoes.
No one knows who gave the orders. No one asks about the crime. No one looks behind the curtain. No one questions why. The only time we got is right about now.
You know, in the war on open source information, the government is going full force at this point. They are trying to get the FCC involved in the internet and really bringing in Internet 2 through the guise of, again, protecting you, the consumer, protecting you, the people. They're saying, well, we need the FCC involved because we're going to make sure that they don't regulate how much bandwidth that they have. We got to make sure that you're allowed to have as much internet as you want. So we have to put limitations on how much internet they can put out. So it's really a bandwidth issue that they're trying to take control over the internet as a whole and basically say, look, we can't handle the traffic. The FCC really should be regulating the internet. We need to come in and take over. And that way, we won't have these rogue bloggers and we won't have people doing this internet radio that seems to be catching on. But again, it's under the guise of them protecting you. However, if you read the bottom of this article, U.S. regulators to unveil open internet plan, you can see that most of these people are not happy because of the implication of applications such as internet phone calling services, those provided by eBay, Skype, and Google. Agency staff are expected to propose setting a lengthy public comment period before any final action. The Monday speech coincides with the deadline for the FCC to file a court brief in a case against Comcast, which is challenging whether the agency has the authority to regulate actions involving the internet. Go Comcast. Thank God, because they need to say no dice. But they'll probably push it through. And you know, I'm full force behind this Google project. I don't think Google is the best out there. I know they've done some pretty bad things. They've given me a raw deal time and time again when it comes to the view count on my films Fabled Enemies and Loose Change Final Cut. And the second edition. I mean, we caught them censoring the second edition's view counts as well. But I do like their project of going around the world and scanning in books that are in libraries that are open to the public. Remember, to get a library card, you basically just have to be a resident. And we are residents of this country. We are citizens of the United States of America. Sovereign citizens. I know there'll be some people who call in and say, I ain't a citizen of nothing, but we live here. Most of us are citizens. Most of us haven't gone through common law. Most of us have our Social Security cards out there. We should be able to access this information and maybe not have to go to Paducah, Kentucky to get a certain book that's no longer in print and only at a certain library. So I love that Google is trying to scan in all these books. Open source information, baby. They should be doing this with all the newscasts that we've had through the last 100 plus years, in my personal opinion. But boy, the U.S. Justice Department, they don't want any part of this. They are trying to stop this at all costs. The U.S. Justice Department urged a New York court Friday to reject Google's controversial deal with authors and publishers that would allow the search engine's giant to create a massive online digital library. The Justice Department said it was filing that the court should reject the proposed statement in its current form and encourage the parties to continue negotiations to modify it so to comply with copyright and antitrust laws. When are people going to learn that open source information is the only way? We're going to go back to your calls. 888-201-2244 or 512-646-1776. Let's go to Steve in Michigan. Steve, you're online.
Hi, Jason. How you doing?
Good.
I have two questions for you. Mm-hmm. Is there a website I can access? You just mentioned internet radio, and that was one of my questions. Is there a website I can access that would help me find out how I could set up an internet radio?
I think there's things like Blog Talk Radio out there, so just type in Blog Talk Radio in a Google search engine, and you should be able to. I think I've done a couple of those radio shows as guests where basically it's an automated service through Blog Talk. You get a certain time period. They give you a stream, a URL. I'm pretty sure it's free, and they call in a certain arbitrary like 888 line if they want to call in, and it goes through a website. So there are ways to start your own internet radio shows without having to go through some of the networks if that's what you're looking to do.
Okay. My next question is, Charlie Sheen, why couldn't he sue for slander on all of these media outlets that have just, they've been trashing slander?
Well, here's the deal. I mean, when you sue anybody, it is a long and very costly process, and it's not just costly in the fact that it's going to drain your bank account, because we all know that Charlie Sheen probably has the money to sue these people. It's costly in the fact that it's going to take your time as well. It might take you away from work. You don't know what the outcome might be. And I mean, let's look at Hulk Hogan for one second. I don't talk about pop culture a whole lot, but Hogan is a frequent caller and guest on the Bubba the Love Sponge show. I listen to Bubba because he's on Howard 101. He got charged, and now he has a lawsuit pending with his last lawyers. He got charged $10 million for them working on the civil suit with his son and the Graziano family and this car accident. $10 million, okay? And it hasn't even gone to trial yet. $10 million. So that should give you an idea of how many legal fees are out there. Now, obviously, this guy looks like he was ripping off Hogan and whatever, but that's a lot of scratch and a lot of time involved. So I don't necessarily think it's Charlie Sheen's duty to go and sue anybody. I mean, it just gets 9/11 more truth and more attention when they say, oh, nutty actor, tinfoil hat wearer says the Bush administration is behind 9/11. When if you read, this 20 questions with Barack Obama, the interview with the president, he never says that the Bush administration is behind 9/11. They love to distort what 9/11 truth is about. I mean, you look at the National Geographic hit piece, for instance, and what is their opening argument out of the gates? Oh, these people believe in, Jews pulled off 9/11 with no planes, and the first experiment we're going to show you is that fire deforms steel. And the 9/11 truthers say that fire cannot deform steel. Never an argument by 9/11 truth. No one ever said that fire cannot deform steel. Steve, I thank you for the call. We point out that there is molten metal pouring out of the World Trade Center right before it collapses. We point out the 2,700 degree temperatures, the NASA thermal images, the World Trade Center meteorites, which was molten steel and iron mixed in with the floors. We point that out because that is the evidence that shows that there was a controlled demolition. That and the fact that it came down at almost free fall speed in on itself, defying the law of physics. And you can see the blast points 20, 40, and 64 below, 20, 40, and 60 floors below the supposed pancake collapse. Give me a break. Jesse in Texas. Jesse, you're on the line.
Hey, what's up, Jason?
How you doing, man?
Okay, well, first of all, I did see the whole 9/11 thing on National Geographic, mm-hmm. and it seems like they took little bits and pieces from Loose Change. They kind of like spliced it a little bit, which was, you know, that's, you know, these people seem to love to do that. And I had this little debate with my father. He's like, well, 9/11 couldn't be an inside job. So basically, he thinks I'm a nutcase.
Well, here's the deal. You know, last week, Jesse, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, I spent 2 hours debunking this 9/11 hit piece on National Geographic. And one of the things that they did, for instance, is they say, well, the people behind Loose Change say that there were secondary explosions in the building. And then what do? They show you a news article that we use in the second edition for the controlled demolition section. Now, they don't show you the dozens of people talking about the secondary explosives, the bombs going off in the basement, the bombs going off in the lobby. So what I did is said, hey, you know, they want to show you a piece of paper. Let me show you parts of the film. And I show you people who were sitting down inside the World Trade Center eating that morning, having breakfast as it happened. And they're like, you know, I felt this huge explosion from under me and I could have swore that the subway had blown up. And then you have the guy immediately after that coming out of the subway going, the subway blew and he's burned. So, you know, you need to look at this information. You can dismiss it out of hand. But, you know, if your father's really having trouble with 9/11 being an inside job, I really feel that my last film, Fabled Enemies, is a great wake-up tool. It doesn't talk about the controlled demolition at the World Trade Center. It doesn't talk about Shanksville, Pennsylvania. It doesn't talk about the Pentagon. Instead, it brings you through the International Intelligence Organization that actually carried out the attacks. It follows the money. It follows the people that were arrested. It follows the politicians that grandstanded, including Joseph Biden, our current vice president. You know, so look, get that online for free. Get your father to sit down in front of a computer screen and watch it, or burn a copy from a torrent, or pick it up from Infowars.com right now. Jesse, I thank you for the call, and do not stop trying to awaken the masses, including your family, because to me that's the most important thing. You know, my friends and family are probably the most important part of my life, and that's why I do what I do. I also do it for a selfish reason. I'd like to live free. I don't like the state of the world right now. I don't like the fact that the dollar is about to be pulled as the world reserve currency. And I don't think, you know, most people right now can comprehend what that's going to do to the economy. I really don't. I don't think that most people even listening right now who know what I'm talking about, who have studied the quote-unquote New World Order, who have studied the globalists, understand how hardcore that will be if they announce the dollar is no longer the world reserve currency coming up at the G20 in Pittsburgh. All right, let's go to Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, I just want to call and say I disagree.
Okay, what do you disagree with, Chuck?
I disagree with everything, man. I don't think that 9/11 was an inside job. I don't think that anything matters except for today my Steelers lost.
Are you being sarcastic, my man?
No, I'm serious, man. We should have won, and we didn't. And, I mean, pretty much that's the only thing that matters.
Well, I hear you. It's tough when the sports teams take a loss. But, you know, when I'm basking in my afterglow of the Yankees dominating in the American League, but I haven't even got to see two or three games.
I don't want to hear about the Yankees, Jason. That's enough. That's enough, man.
All right,
hey,
Chuck. Hey, I thank you for the call, brother. I think Chuck was being sarcastic. I don't think he really cared that much about the Pittsburgh Steelers. But who knows? I could be wrong. That is the mentality of most people out there. They're really concerned about their sports. And I'm bad, too. You know, I couldn't wait for UFC 103 this weekend. I watched it. I'm a big fan of MMA. I'd like to catch the World Series this year if the Yankees are in it. You know, at least two games. I'd like to see two. I'd like to see the one where they take the series and actually have the pile on. Haven't seen it since 2000 when they beat the Mets, which was glorious. Almost a decade, Hoosh. That's tough for me. You know, I want to see some winning ways. And I've been waiting for an NBA championship for the New York Knicks my whole life. Yeah, I know. I'll be waiting a while for that indeed. So, you know, but that's side issue. I don't even get to watch that stuff most of the time. There's a time for that. There's a time for the tribalism and sitting down with the buddies and having the brews and eating the popcorn and the nachos, flipping the burgers out back. That's there to enjoy life after you've participated in it. And by participated in it, I don't mean went to your 9-to-5, kissed your wife, you know, disciplined your kid, and then just, you know, forgot about how the world works. Just said, you know what, bankers, just steal it all. I'm for the bailout. If we don't have this bailout, I had people coming up to me before the bailout saying it was a good thing. That if we didn't do it, the entire economy would collapse. And it was all over. It was like Armageddon situation. And they were usually right wingers, unfortunately. Because remember, the bailout was first introduced to us through George W. Bush, but promoted by future President Barack H. Obama. All right, let's go to John in California. John, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. Listen, to change the subject, I think you guys really should start spending more time discussing Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is out of control now. We're watching him going ballistic now. Mm-hmm. He's a clear and present danger to the American people, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm obviously no fan of Glenn Beck, and I have talked about him on numerous occasions, not only on this show, but when I've hosted the Alex Jones show, and it's kind of a conundrum for me because at some level, you know, he does expose now the economic bad guys. He uses the phrases that, you know, Alex Jones, like fall of the Republic, you're hearing that out of Glenn Beck's mouth. He's saying things like ask questions, demand answers about the economy when, you know, I had ask questions, demand answers printed up on little black and white posters for the fifth anniversary of 9/11. Well, Glenn Beck on the fifth anniversary of 9/11 really didn't want to ask questions and demand answers when he canceled myself and Dylan Avery from taking on the Popular Mechanics guys. We'd been booked for over 2 weeks and really talking to his producers for over a month. And after I eviscerated the Popular Mechanics guys on Amy Goodman's program on Democracy Now!, nope, we just get pulled. So yeah, is he a clear and present danger? You bet he is. But at the same time, he's leading people to our information. You know, when I went to that rally in San Antonio where Glenn Beck actually was, that Tea Party in April, a lot of people had seen the Obama deception. Now, does that mean they put all the pieces together and they understood everything right away? No, they were still there to see Glenn Beck on a lot of occasions. But at the same time, it's that spark. It's that fire. A lot of people haven't been awake since 2002, like myself, or, you know, like some people since the 70s or 80s. Some people are still really clouded in their judgment. So, yeah, is Glenn Beck a big problem and a huge opposition to overcome? You bet he is. But at the same time, he gives these little nuggets of truth that lead people to InfoWars and Prison Planet and 9/11 Truth websites. I thank you for the call, John. G20 security driving away Pittsburgh's bustle. Now, for this upcoming G20, they've got security everywhere. They're going to stop bridge traffic. A lot of people, I think, are going to actually be stuck in the cities unless you take side roads and really go out of your way to leave. Okay, and why is this important? I'm wondering if they are really setting up a situation where security is so tight and so involved that they don't have a situation like the one they had with the WTO in Seattle. Because a lot of people could be upset if on the 24th Barack H. Obama gets up there and says, well, you know, I've talked to my colleagues in the United Nations. As many of you know, I'm becoming the head of the UN Security Council. And in order to move towards this green economy and work with the world, the dollar will no longer be the world reserve currency. But this is a good thing. But a lot of people might not think it's such a good thing. So, this is the only reason I can see them having the lockdown like they do. The city with a population of about 310,000 usually draws about 200,000 commuters on a typical weekday. They are cordoning off three full city blocks from all traffic altogether. And again, they're shutting down bridges. So are they doing this as a preemptive measure, as a pre-strike to the outrage? Remember, they're pushing this green economy. That's a headline. That's a Reuters headline. They're already out there. This is probably a press release from some monkey at the UN. Pittsburgh showcases green economy at G20. That's what this is. They're prepping you for it. That's why we have cap and trade. It's not to stop the big evil businesses from polluting the earth. It's to stop us from achieving our goals as a great humanity. We'll be back after this, taking your calls, 888-201-2244.
Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmans, and we're going to get into the swine flu news, the pandemic news. I was going through the headlines today, and one of the headlines was about the Mayo Clinic. They were kind of dissing the Mayo Clinic in the articles that I was reading. There was one, I think, in Reuters and then one on MSNBC, possibly on Fox. I hit those news wires today. Might have even been over at the Drudge Report and went there today as well. And what reminded me about the Mayo Clinic and how important I think it was a paper they did a month and a half, 2 months ago, was the fact that they actually said that people who took the regular flu vaccine were actually more likely to get the flu. And they kind of poo-pooed it. They said, oh, this doesn't mean don't get the flu vaccine, but we did do this study, and if you take the flu vaccine, you are more likely to get the flu. Now, that would really coincide why they're hyping up that the swine flu could kill millions unless rich nations give up 900 million pounds, which is well over $1 billion, folks. Well over $1 billion. In order to inoculate the third world. A woman wears a mask as a preventative measure against swine flu. At Sassoon Hospital in Pune, India, August 11, 2009, the swine flu pandemic could kill millions and cause anarchy in the world's poorest nations unless 900 million pounds can be raised from rich countries to pay for vaccines and antiviral medicines. So they're squeezing us for money. This is about profit as well. But at the same time, it's about eugenics. It's about population sustainability. I still have a hard time even dealing with this. The case for killing Granny. I mean, this isn't shocking. This isn't horrid. And I'm at Twin Peaks. The people over in Texas might know what it is, but it's a knockoff of Hooters, basically. It's like a woodsy knockoff of Hooters. I go to eat there every once in a while because it's around the corner from the office. And yes, I like mindless sports and beer, pretty girls as well sometimes. And our waitress, you know, they have to be friendly to you at these places. She's coming over and talking and, you know, she's asking, you know, do we work around here? What do we do? And I tell her. And she's like, yeah, oh, politics. I'm really into that. I'm like, okay, sure you are, lady. And she starts going, well, you know, my professor says that this redistribution of wealth is a good thing and that the wealthy elites don't like it. And I'm like, well, actually, the wealthy elites love population sustainability and they love redistribution of wealth. And she was talking about how great socialism was. And I'm like, they love socialism as well. Because the elites never give anything up. It's not like they're like, oh, socialism's here. Have my yacht. Oh, socialism's here. It's time to take my mansion away from me. No, it's socialism's here. Now I have a bunch of slave laborers to carry out my will and not challenge what I'm doing. And this girl is sitting there and she can't really get her head around it. I'm like, you name one socialist regime where it was true socialism and there was not an elite class. She thought about it for a second and she couldn't say anything. And I said, well, what happened in communist Russia? I'm like, well, you had kind of a quasi-socialist society there in communism. Did the elites give up power there? I'm like, no, they ruled over the people. They consolidated their power. And it was, you know, I was trying to explain to her what it's about, but I only had so many times, and the chicken wings were delicious, folks. So I hope that she did ask me where I could find the, she could find the information on it. I don't know if she looked into any, and I told her to Google the Info Warrior and check it out. But here it is: swine flu could kill millions unless rich nations give 900 million pounds, over $1 billion, probably 1.3 or 4 billion dollars on the conversion rate. I don't know how many SDRs that is. I'd have to go to the SDR unit conversion table, the true global currency at this point, to find out. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Go check out the websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. The call in line is 888-201-2244. Seem to matter that Reuters prints an article out there that says swine flu death rate similar to seasonal flu. Expert: no, it's still going to be a pandemic. The death rate from the pandemic H1N1 swine flu is likely lower than earlier estimates. This one's on a Wednesday's edition. An expert of infectious diseases said on Wednesday, new estimates suggest that the death rate compares to a moderate year of seasonal influenza. But you see, they can't get the hype. They can't get you to take their eugenics shot full of squalene, full of mercury, full of God knows what, unless they hype it up to, oh my God, everybody's going to die from the big flu. Oh my God. Oh my God, it's coming. And that's what it's really like. Remember, I mean, they're like, when can I get the shot? I'm watching Fox News the other, when can I get the shot? I need the shot. And they're like, don't worry, that first week of October, we're shipping them out and shipping them in. And it might not even be a shot. You can take it as a nasal spray, making it all the more appealing. So you won't have to roll up your sleeve. You can just that quick. It's like I have an allergy. And people will fall for it. And then they are gearing you up. Reuters gears you up the same day as this is printed, where they say death rate similar to seasonal flu. The same day they print this article, flu experts gear up for a pandemic of vaccine worry, saying, all right, you're going to take the vaccine. Don't worry. None of it's real. They're all lying to you. Like right here, Spirit of 76, memories linger of the 1976 swine flu debacle when 43 million Americans were vaccinated against a virus that never spread. 43 million Americans in 1976. Pretty sure the population of the United States is around 220, maybe 230 million then. Okay? So they got about, you know, one in every five or six Americans to take the shot. Let's see. And newspapers filled with reports of a rare and crippling neurological disease called Guillain-Barré syndrome. Guillain-Barré was never definitively linked with the vaccine, but many Americans have viewed immunizations with suspicion ever since. Never definitively. All right, I'm going to talk slow as if you're a six-year-old retarded child, okay? Of course it was the shot that paralyzed people, gave them quadriplegia, made them wear leg braces the rest of their life, killed them in some instances. Of course it was the shot. Never definitively proved. That's like them saying to you that the vaccines that contain mercury don't, they've never, ever, ever given anyone autism. But then like 2 years ago, they wrote this study that somebody who took a shot did get autistic, like, They worded it so they said it wasn't actually autism, but autistic-like symptoms. And they just basically blatantly admitted, yes, it looks like it was the mercury from the vaccination, but it's not really autism. So just move on. Just act like it doesn't exist. Take your shot and smile. And if you do get sick, you are going to get sick anyway. I mean, come on. We have anticipated there will be a need for enhanced surveillance for Guillain-Barré as well as other adverse events. See, they actually admit here that they're still going to have to screen for it. After they tell you it was never definitively linked and not to worry, they say, well, don't worry, we're going to screen for it if it actually does occur. and there will be more to contend with the critical newspaper and television reports. The internet did not exist in 1976, nor did blogs, Facebook, Twitter, or dozens of other ways for people to communicate globally and instantly. This tells me that they're afraid that if something does go wrong in the first 24 hours, the first week of this thing, and the local media does pick up on it and people do flip out about it, that it could spread like wildfire and hinder their plans. We're going to take your calls coming up in the next segment. We're going to go to William in Oklahoma and much, much more. 888-201-2244. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Go check out the Bobby Bloggins at theinfowarrior.com. We are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, and we're going to go to your calls in just a moment. But last week, I talked about this lingerie line, which was an online comic called New World Order, okay? And it was by a line called Agent Provocateur. Now, I thought it was a comic book with the lingerie to get things out to kids. Turns out that it was like an online website built to look like a comic book. And we did show you some of the pictures of these girls. I mean, they were... It was pretty racy, even for this show. And this just struck me as totally beyond bizarre. If you're watching at PrisonPlanet.tv right now and you see this picture, first of all, it looks like mannequins, but these are real women. Second of all, it looks like they're dressed like Nazis. They're in the Nazi cap, all black, leather, high boots, and they marched on London's Oxford Street to launch their new Agent Provocateur bra line, New World Order. So their New World Order campaign has women dressing like Nazis. Very beyond bizarre. Just, it kind of turns my stomach. All right, I said I'd take some calls, so let's do it to it. William in Oklahoma. William, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. I'm a little nervous here, but I'll do the best I can. So this may be a little off topic, but you seem like a music fan, right?
Sure.
Have you ever heard of Dream Theater?
Dream Theater? No.
Oh, man, they've been around for a while, since like late 80s, I would say.
Okay.
Well, they just came out with a new CD this year, and I was surprised to find, they're one of my favorite bands, and I was surprised that they had this song on here. It's called A Rite of Passage. And it's about the New World Order. They're a pretty big band. I wanted you guys to check this out, seriously. And if you hear it, I think you'll like it. And I think you and Alex could, maybe.
It's called it's Dream Theater, and it's Rite of Passage?
A Rite of Passage.
A Rite of Passage. I will check it out, William. I thank you for the call. Let's jump to Greg in Florida. Greg, you're on the line.
Hey, James. How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I don't know why, but I sometimes tune into the mainstream media, and I was wondering if you've seen, CNN was running a story the week of 9/11 saying how exposed our legislative branch of government is, and the reason they cited was that the plane that went down in Pennsylvania, they're saying, was headed towards the White House, and there was a full session of Congress, and the target of that plane was supposedly our Congress, and what kind of turmoil our country would be in if every member of Congress were suddenly taken out
So what they're saying is that the legislative branch has had to give up some of their power because of the attacks of 9/11, where Congress could have been decapitated. So instead of just letting that happen, if it actually did, they're just going to take the power away from Congress and the legislative branch and give it to the executive branch and the judicial branch.
Well, also they had some expert that they asked the question, why does this matter to America? And the guy said that if the legislative branch were suddenly to be taken out, the president could declare war on multiple countries without being checked or vetoed or any kind of vote taken. And he cited a couple more things. And the reason I brought it up is because it seems like when I was watching this, like they were preparing us for something. You know how they do that?
Well, here's the deal. On 9/11 itself, there seemed to be a lot more going on than just the three attacks that actually did occur. Obviously, there's something that happened in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Now, the question is, was the White House the target? Because we had those reports, oh, there's a plane heading in to the White House. Or was the Capitol building with Congress actually the target? If you look at Amalgam Virgo, they run a drill of flying a commercial airliner into the Capitol building. Now, on top of that, if you watch my film Fabled Enemies, again, available over at Infowars.com, or you can watch it for free online, there's a section in there called Other Targets. And Governor, I think, Paris Glendening starts talking about how he saw a list on the morning of 9/11, which was sent to him by the local police force, I guess, where the World Trade Center, I think he says the Sears Tower and the Capitol building, as well as the Pentagon, are all on this list. So my feeling is there was more to the coup, more to the takeover than actually did occur, that there were people inside the government who, and military, not just the government, but the military, who started to get hip to this and stopped it. I don't know whether, you know, Flight 93 was blown up or shot down, or whether it was even Flight 93 at all, but something happened there. And it seems to me, with the threat over to Air Force One, that there was a lot more going on. And they may have wanted to decapitate Congress at that point so that they could go into the Middle East. I feel like, you know, the anthrax attacks being an inside job, for instance, really pushed those who were not ready to just give carte blanche power to the executive branch, who were not ready to sign on to the Patriot Act, who were not ready to invade Afghanistan off the bat without some kind of evidence. But you have another scare inside D.C. You have a couple people die. You have the media attacked, and it's a whole nother ball game. I thank you for the call, Greg. Let's jump to Matt in the U.K. Matt, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. Good evening from the U.K. It's about 1 o'clock in the night time here in the UK. Two questions, Jace. Thanks. Number one question is, what was that plane over the towers? What was it called? Why was it called a doomsday plane? I can't get that. I've seen Endgame and all the movies.
All right, have you seen Fabled Enemies?
I'd like to say, I'd like to thank Charlie Sheen for having that bravery to come out and to say, like, 9/11 truth needs to come out.
No, I agree with you. All right, so what was that plane? Why is it called a doomsday plane? Now, let's just get something straight. The white plane in New York, we only have one video of it. There's no definitive proof that that is a quote-unquote E-4B or a doomsday plane, but it seems likely that it is probably an E-4B or doomsday plane based on the fact that there is another white plane, which is definitely an E-4B or a doomsday plane, which is a command center for members of the shadow government, the continuity of government program that we were just talking about that would have taken place and really did take place on 9/11. It was in place before 9/11 due to Global Guardian and the mass Armageddon exercise that was going on that morning. However, you don't have these guys take over as much power if Congress is not decapitated. So you have an E-4B definitely on the site of the Pentagon. Then, through some public documents, you find out that this mass Armageddon exercise is going and that there are four other E-4Bs throughout the country. Then you go to the video evidence and there is a white plane in secure military space in New York City. In other words, this white plane is, you know, the only other planes that were in that area that day that weren't government planes were the two planes that hit the World Trade Center. So that is likely also an E-4B. Now, in the 80s, they revamped the continuity of government program to establish new rules and new powers for people like Dick Cheney. And they did this under George H.W. Bush. While Bush was the vice president under an actor President Reagan, he reconstituted this, and there was a huge scandal. I use a couple of the clips in Fabled Enemies, but there was a larger scandal beyond that. It was really the birth of things like Blackwater and the sole source contract for these people who were really, I mean, this is the same group that was running drugs in Iran-Contra. They were able to set up these other organizations and have sole source contracts, which aren't as controversial today. They're almost accepted. So there was a lot going on, and I would have to say that the evidence points to that also being an E-4B. And why is that important? You look at the 9/11 Commission report, they don't want to talk about it at all. The first planes there didn't get there until, I think, 15 to 17 minutes after the second tower actually was hit. If there was an E-4B plane on the scene, we should know about it. We should know that there was a government plane there. Anything else for me, Matt?
Yeah, Jason. Also, I'll tell you what niggles me is, I read on YouTube, and a lot of the U.S. guys that listen to what I'm saying now, is I read a lot of these people that are in the towers, and they're talking to, like, the EPA, is it called EPA, the emergency service, or whatever you call it, in America, and it's their way that you know it's an inside job, the way they say, look, we're dying here, we can't breathe, whatever else, and they're going, never mind, just keep there, we're going to be there, it's mm-hmm. like it's orchestrated by them. They were told to keep people calm, let people die.
No, absolutely.
And
you know,
also,
and also
what's so crass and disgusting is all the ABC News and the helicopters that were there when these people were dying in those towers.
Yeah, and not going to the roofs to save them. Now, I don't know if they could have made a roof landing, and I thank you for the call, but it is disgusting and disturbing to me that they literally treated the heroes of 9/11, the survivors of 9/11, like nothing more than cattle. And they let those people die by inhaling all the barium and the chromium and the other heavy metals and the dust particles in the atmosphere. Remember, these things were cut down to microns in size. These things were pulverized. All this concrete was pulverized into a fine, fine dust. Believe me, sir, it was a controlled demolition. They killed all those people in the towers. They killed all those people on the ground that didn't know that they were going to collapse. And they didn't give a damn about the survivors. And that's why to this day, they just deny that people at the World Trade Center are getting cancer from the dust in their lungs. Oh, it just doesn't happen. It's made up like fairy tales and unicorns, my friend. Meanwhile, guys like coughing up blood, can't barely breathe. He's 38. He'll die by the time he's 40. All the dogs are dead. They didn't survive. We're going to go to Kelly, Anita, Anthony, and more. The number is 888-201-2244. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Continues on the American people. I want to go briefly to these two articles, then we're going to go back to your phone call. Senator Dodd favors bank super cop idea. You see, Senator Dodd, who ran for the presidency, who is a prominent member of the Democratic Party, is out there promoting that the people who caused this economic crisis, the Federal Reserve Bank, the IMF, the World Bank, they should regulate themselves, and they should regulate all the other banks and the non-bank organizations as well. And I know that Alex covered that on the Thursday program because I gave him the article. And now they're just saying, yeah, you know, I think it's great that we're going to have a non-governmental organization oversee all these banks. They're going to stop this from ever happening again. No, they're going to continue to consolidate power till they get their global currency, till they get their global government. All right, let's go to Kelly in New Hampshire. Kelly, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was wondering, when are you going to go back to having a nightly show?
I will probably be going back to the nightly show sometime in January or February, depending on when I'm absolutely finished with Invisible Empire. Right now, I'm working so hard on this film. I got about 25 minutes on the timeline. I've got an interview coming up with Peter Dale Scott on October 1st. He's going to be in the picture. I did an interview with G. Edward Griffin. I did an interview with Mark Dice. So far, those are the three people that are definitely going to be into it. But as soon as I get done with that, I'm probably going to start going back to my 9 to midnight show. We'll see if I keep the same time slot. I'm not quite sure. But the release date for that is February 12th. So that means that I'll probably have it off to DVD by the beginning of February. And hopefully, we'll have the main part of the movie done by the end of December. And January will only be sweetening. So perhaps then, I will have my nightly show back.
Won't you be doing some kind of tour for your DVD opening?
We'll see. I'll definitely be doing some audio interviews, and if people want to have me out to locations like the Grand Lake Theater in California or the likes, maybe over on the East Coast, I may do some screenings. I may just let people do the screenings themselves. I don't know if I'll travel. I couldn't tell you. It's kind of all up in the air to me. It's kind of hard for me to travel too, because I'm a single guy. I live by myself. I've got three dogs. No one takes care of the dogs for me but me, so if I'm gone for a week or 2 weeks, I have to somebody over my house. I mean, it's kind of difficult, but at the same time, I do like traveling. I do like meeting new people, and I really like to get people involved that walk into the theater with somebody who is aware of this information, and they just kind of snicker and laugh at me and like, oh, I came here. And then at the end, they go, look, man, I'm really sorry. I was wrong, and this was a real eye-opener, and they shake my hand. So we'll see what happens, but I'm planning on launching it on the 12th for free on YouTube through Change the Channel. I don't know if he's listening, but we're going to make sure he has the video and people can watch it in the highest quality the day it comes out. I think the next day, whether or not, I believe I'm releasing it on a Friday, so I may or may not wait until Sunday to do a show where we base it all on the movie and people's opinion of the movie. I may do a live chat. A lot of ideas up in the air right now, Kelly.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks. Okay. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Anita in Texas. Anita, you're online.
Hi, Jason. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, I got about three different things I want to ask you about.
Sure.
First of all, somebody told me about the movie State of Play. Have you seen that?
State of Play. No, is that a Hollywood picture?
Yeah, and they said it's got a lot of this stuff in it, so I'm going to watch it. I was just wondering if you
had seen
that.
Is that the Harrison Ford picture?
I don't remember if he said that's who was in there or not.
I keep up a little bit on pop culture. I saw District 9, and I thought District 9 was awesome, and it really had a lot of the globalist overtones in it. For instance, the organization that's overseeing it is like a quasi-UN corporation organization, and it's all about redistributing these aliens from one concentration camp to another. And during that, they're talking about permits for children. And really, a lot of these, I mean, they go into the bureaucratic mindset. It's an excellent film. I really I recommend District 9 to everybody. In fact, the UN-type organization even had like a Baphomet-type logo as their logo. It was like kind of a goat's head. It was definitely bizarre, and it was good. But I will check out State of Play. What else you got for me, Anita?
Okay.
Anita, hold over. We're about to take a break. Hold over. I'll hold you over to the next break. We're going to go to Anthony and a lot more. It's 888-201-2244. The Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. How would you like to be charged $200 for a 911 call? Well, it's on the horizon in some of the poorer counties out there because the economy's collapsing and we have to take drastic measures. We'll be back with your phone calls after this. It's the Info Warrior. Folks, we are back. We're on the line with Anita in Texas. Anita, what else you want to say?
Okay, I was been trying to get a hold of Alex to ask him this question because his dad's a dentist. And I was wondering about those shots that the dentists give. If they're safe, if they have squalene, mercury, that mess in there.
No, you're talking about the Novocaine shots, right? I'm pretty
right.
sure that those are just Novocaine. I don't think there's any mercury in there. But, hey, I'm not an expert. I'll ask Alex, and I'll try to give you an answer. Next week, I'll try to get at me on Facebook or MySpace or email me, and I'll try to get back to that answer because I don't know, but I would assume that that's just a Novocaine shot. Liquid Novocaine, I don't think, has the mercury preservative in it, but don't quote me on that. What else you got, Anita?
Okay, and I have noticed, I don't know if you or anybody else that you've talked to has noticed, there's so many new schools being built in so many little towns everywhere, and I'm wondering if they're like going to be quarantine facilities or something.
Well, you know, schools traditionally have been makeshift nuclear fallout centers and community centers in the case of an attack, so I don't think that you're going too far saying that maybe this is going to be the new type of FEMA camp, but at the same time, I don't know. I mean, they're using the schools right now as the mass vaccination centers. They want your kids first, they want pregnant women second, and then they want the parents after that. And the people that they can't get through that program, in other countries anyway, in places like Sweden and Canada, they're just going to set up makeshift vaccination centers outside of bars and popular strips so they can get people while they're inebriated. I don't know why they're building all these schools. To me, you know, a lot of schools are getting cut out in my neck of the woods, at least in New York. A lot of teachers' jobs are getting cut. A lot of the programs are getting cut. Over the past 5 or 10 years, I've seen some consolidations of school districts where they actually knock down a couple schools and build a super school. So I'm not sure. I thank you for the call, Anita. Let's go to Anthony in Missouri. Anthony, you're online.
How you doing, Jason? I saw on C-SPAN one night, I was just watching it, and they have House Resolution 317.
Okay.
Where, wait a second, it says, whereas the Department of Homeland Security selected Manhattan, Kansas as the future location for the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility. I don't know, I was just saying if you guys see anything in it. I don't know.
No, I don't know enough about the bill. I do know that they have that island right off of Manhattan where they do a lot of this bio-experimentation with animals. What is it called? Do you know offhand? Craig, you have no idea, huh? I'm asking. Man, sometimes I kind of blank out and I can't think off the top of my head, but they have an island right off of, man, what is it called? Well, anyway, they do all these weird experiments there. They study foot and mouth and all these other kind of diseases there, so it wouldn't really surprised me that they would put that facility in Manhattan. What worried me was that they were looking to take the facility that I'm talking about and move it into the Midwest and around populations. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to check it out. Send us some information on the bill and tell us where the highlighted sections are, and I'll try to get back to you, Anthony. I appreciate the call. Michael in New York. Michael, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Okay, I'm going to try and be quick. I wanted to out into the middle of New York, and I wanted to make some speeches that I've been writing myself. You know, nothing too crazy, but I wanted to just start waking people up and just, you know, because really what's got to happen is something's got to happen soon, or, you know, things are going to get a lot worse a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to just talk about, like, you know, if I was to go out in the middle of the streets with a megaphone, but it has to be a public place, obviously.
Yes.
But is it legal to do that, first of all? If I find a public
they
place...
They may like be able to get you with a noise permit if you use an actual bullhorn. However, if you use... I know on 9/11 this year, a lot of people were using those big tubes. You know which one? They're not mm-hmm. electric. Those aren't
okay.
illegal. You can use those. If you use a megaphone or a bullhorn, they may come up to you and ask you if you have a permit. You are going to want to be sticking to public areas such as parks, sidewalks, not private areas such as parking lots and the like that. They can throw you out of there. Other than that, you do have free speech, sir. You know, if
no,
you're
no,
not disturbing
why,
the peace.
You know, yeah. I mean, I'm going to exercise it. And this, you know, what's going on? You know, I'm new to all this, but, you know, I'm really trying to.
What part of New York are you in, Michael?
I live in Long Island, but, you know, I'm back and forth between the city and Long Island.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, it's a big place out there. We Are Change has a great organization. I'm sure they would openly accept you in. You can go to wearechange.org, and Luke Radowski and others just, you know, they really know the rules. They really know the law. I know there's a bunch mm-hmm. of 9/11 truthers out in Long Island as well. I know through the colleges and the state schools that there's a large 9/11 truth movement, a lot of people that are hip to Loose Change and Fabled Enemies, but there are a lot of people out there mm-hmm. that aren't. So, you know, not only is your voice, you know, an effective tool, I really tell people, hit the DVD burner. Make 100, make 1,000, make 10,000 copies of our movies. Talk to somebody and try
That's
to relate
I was
to them.
Have, like a, while I'm out there, I was going to have a stand of multiple stuff that I've, you know, I've gotten through the web. And I'm just going to, you know, leave it out there. You know, I'm going to burn them on my own time and stuff like that. No charge or anything like that. Just take them, flyers, things like that.
Well, Michael, you know, that's how I got started, man. I mean, I did the same exact thing, and I would go to parties with these things. I would hit street corners with these things. I would be on the bus ride to work.
With people, I'm sort of a loner throughout my whole life, but, you know, I feel more comfortable, you know, with in sort of like speaking to the public than if I was hanging out with, like, a few guys or, you know, whatever at a party. Mm-hmm. That's just the way I am. But the second thing is really to my second point is that I am just one person. I'm just one voice of many. And the Jordan Maxwells, the David Icke's, Michael Tesarian, Jim Moss, all these people out there talking. And you see a lot of stuff with, like, Closure and Project Camelot coming out. And, you know, they're all more or less on the fringe of, let's say, of what you guys more or less concentrate on.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is like a lot of the people are many voices all speaking about different things, but it's trying to get the message out as a whole so people understand it. You know, because if you got a million people yelling at once about, you know, secrecy and various different forms of government and whatever the case may be, you know, it gets lost in confusion. You know, and I'm trying to figure out a
way.
Well,
let me comment on that, because, you know, those guys, and I thank you for the call, Michael. I've watched lectures on all the individuals you just spoke about. I've actually met Jim Mars. I've had him in studio with me. I really enjoy Jordan Maxwell's material. I think Michael Tesarian does a great job of going into some of the esoteric stuff. But like you just said, a lot of that stuff is on the fringe. And I do think in many cases it's sort of counterproductive. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have a pursuit of knowledge. I'm thankful for those people. I'm glad that we have alternatives to the alternative and people putting out information that perhaps InfoWars doesn't concentrate on. But when you're trying to change the political paradigm, when you're trying to awaken people to the tyranny of the Federal Reserve banking system, when you're trying to point out MKUltra, Project Paperclip, 9/11 as a false flag, I feel like you really want to stick to the facts. And a lot of these esoteric notions and language play and, you know, things on Atlantis, they just go too far beyond the pale, and they're really a person's interpretation of someone else's texts. So I try to, you know, I'll get into the esoteric stuff a little bit. You'll see a little bit of it in Invisible Empire, but for the most part, I'm trying to stick to the facts. I mean, this one's out of, is this out of New York? But it is out of New York. It's out of NBC New York, but it's a story out of California. If you dial and then change your mind, the city of Vallejo, California will soon charge you $200. This is a 911 call. Admittedly, the city is strapped for cash. Yeah, I mean, this is what's important. I mean, you're going to get charged $200 if you mistakenly call 911 now. And to me, what's important is that, yeah, we're about to announce that the dollar is totally and completely collapsed. It will no longer be the world reserve currency. And by the way, not only does the UN want it, president is about to be there.
Everybody wants to see it done. I mean, well, it's a conspiracy global.
It is a global conspiracy. Michael, I thank you for the call. But, I mean, when you have a president coming in and saying, yes, I'm going to head up the United Nations Security Council. I'm doing it big. And it's at the same exact point that they're going to the G20. They're going to announce the green economy. They're going to announce the collapse of the dollar. And everybody's going to be buddying up. And remember, they're going to present it to you in a light that's positive, in a light that's saving the world and good for humanity. But meanwhile, they ratchet up the police state with dialing 911, $200. $200. And this really dovetails with something that Alex hit on in the previous program. New government policy imposes strict standards on garage sales nationwide. Americans who slap $1 price tags on their used possessions. Let me repeat that, because I think I should say that pretty slow for people. Americans who slap $1 price tags, that's a dollar, that's four quarters, that's chicken scratch, folks, on their used possessions at garage sales or bazaar events because there are those out there that go to things like Brimfield and, you know, sell antiques and other, you know, types of things like flea markets, or, for instance, risk being slapped with fines of up to $15 million. $15 million. Now, it's under my assumption that if you're selling something that you used to own for $1, for $1, if you're doing that, you don't have $15 million, because if you did, you wouldn't be having a garage sale. $15 million thanks to a new government campaign, the Resale Roundup. Again, to make you feel bad, to make you feel like a criminal, to let you know who's in charge. The Resale Roundup, launched by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, enforces new limits on lead in children's products and makes it illegal to sell any items that don't meet those limits or have been recalled for any other reason. Excuse me, how are you supposed to know that your Thundercats toy that you bought your kid 20 years ago has too much lead in it? How are you supposed to know that that Transformers figure is no good? And you're supposed to pay $15 million? If it was $15,000 or $1,500, it'd still be ludicrous. But when you can go to $15 million town, that's off the charts. That's total and complete insanity. The strict standards were set in 2008 Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act after a series of high-profile recalls of Chinese-made toys. The standards were originally interpreted to apply only to new products, which makes sense. But now the CPSC says they apply to used items as well. Those who resell recalled children's products are not only breaking the law, they are putting children's lives at risk. I mean, really? I'm reselling a G.I. Joe and I'm putting a child at risk? I'm reselling somebody my Hulk Hogan action figure and I'm putting a child at risk? No, this is another excuse to have the government come into your life and take control. In order to comply, stores, flea markets, charities, and individuals selling used goods in person or online, this affects you if you sell on eBay, are expected to consult the commission's 24-page handbook for resale stores and product resellers and its website for a breakdown of what they can't sell. 24-page handbook? I'm supposed to read a 24-page handbook before I put an item on my eBay? On my eBay. Unbelievable. Violators caught selling anything on the enormous list face fines up to $100,000 per infraction and up to $15 million for a related series of infractions. CPSC spokeswoman Scott Wolfson, Scott Wolfson, says the fines are intended for large companies with serious infractions. CPSC is an agency that has used its penalty powers over the 30-year history against companies. CPSC is not seeking to pursue penalties against individuals hosting a garage sale or yard sale. We are encouraging them to make the right steps to not resell recalled products. But encouraging them to take the right steps means you're a criminal, and yes, we can fine you like a company. We just want to let you know. It's very mafioso. It's very cartel-like. But what do we expect in a culture that breeds greed and ignorance? Well, the scum go to the top. They rise right up there, and then they take advantage of the little guy. They just snap at him. Gotcha again. Gotcha some more. Because you don't like to pay attention. You don't like to get involved in your local government. You don't like to get involved in your state government. You don't like to get involved in federal policy. Because that's too much work. You're just sitting home right now watching the Emmys. Because 30 Rock is so awesome. And I can relate to all my coworkers and friends and family members. Because we can talk about TV shows and sports. And that's what our relationships are based on. Not love. You know, not humanity, not activities outside of those things like television and sports. But that's how we base our relationships today. It really is like, hey, man, I really like that Yankees cap. All right, I like it too. And I'm guilty to some extent as well. You know, I fall for this consumerist culture. But at the same time, I warned people about this months ago. And now it's happening. I mean, $15 million? $15 million. If you've got a dollar price tag on a toy that had lead in it, give me a break. I can't stand it. We're going to continue to take your calls. 888-201-2244 is the number. Chris in California. Chris, you're on the line.
Hey, how's it going, Jason?
Good, man.
I was listening to your show, and you're talking about all these fines and stuff. And, I'm a new listener. I've only been on to this stuff for a little while, but I've come across a lot of really interesting information, and it's all there. If you read our Constitution, it's all there, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the funny things I've come across is that our government, according to our Constitution, is only permitted to receive payment or pay mm-hmm. in gold bullion and precious metals.
That is correct.
So there are, now I don't have all the information here, and I'm mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. This is my first time ever calling into a radio station show.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, what they did to get around that, Chris, let me explain, because yes, like you said, that is, you know, constitutionally correct. But they have eviscerated the Constitution and Bill of Rights to the point where that no longer really exists. And they didn't, you know, amend the Constitution like they were supposed to. What they did through a series of regulations and policies is just took that away. They said, you know what, we need a world bank. And we need a Federal Reserve Bank that can sit there and be outside of government. And it'll be a quasi-government organization. You see, that's what the proponents, like the fake conservatives out there will tell you, like Hannity. Oh, no, it's a quasi-government organization. Let me tell you how it's a quasi-government organization. It's only quasi-government in the fact that the commissioners are elected by our elected officials. The 13 commissioners get 8-year terms based on our elected officials. We don't vote them in, and there's no oversight, and Greenspan tells you that they do what they want and they're outside of the presidency. So I wish we followed the Constitution, but we just don't. Back after this, it's the Info Warrior.
Save the victory speeches for later. Streets on fire. The mob goes wow, wow, wow. Streets on fire.
You know, something I haven't been able to speak on yet, and I really want to hit up, are these latest Al-Qaeda and Bin Laden videos. Now, I haven't seen them posted on YouTube. I've seen the Bin Laden audio tape, and it's translated into, you know, American and, I'm sorry, English. I don't want to sound too dumb. I'm not that smart, but yes, English, translated to English. And, of course, they have Osama bin Laden acting as though, first of all, he's taking credit for the attacks. He's reminding us of 9/11 one more time. Let's talk about 9/11. I did it. I'm guilty. It's me, Osama. But then he takes the position of people who are against the war. So if you're against the war, you're with Osama bin Laden. You know, he says things like the United States needs to leave Afghanistan and Iraq. And the United States does need to leave Afghanistan and Iraq. But now if I say that, I'm a bin Laden sympathizer. Meanwhile, Al-Qaeda, whatever you believe that is, whether you believe it's Al-Qaeda. Yeah, I saw those pictures they got going on there. You got to see these Khalid Sheikh Mohammed pictures with the beard. I mean, it is cartoon character-esque, folks. I mean, you could not get a more stereotypical Arab terrorist than what they're showing you in these photographs. Anyway, these new Al-Qaeda videos, I saw one screenshot from these things, and these are the ones that are threatening Germany. Oh, we're going to attack Germany. Oh, no. Let me read you about it. Militant Islamist group Al-Qaeda threatened Germany with attacks for the second time this week in an online video criticizing the country for its deployment of troops in Afghanistan. Authorities said in Sunday, the Interior Ministry identified Al-Qaeda's messenger in the latest video as Bekre Halak, a German Moroccan who also appeared in a separate clip on Friday, warning Germany faced a rude awakening if it did not end its war in Afghanistan. Television footage showed Harak, who is 32, according to German media, wearing a mask in the latest video. Harak was clean-shaven and wearing a suit and tie in the previous recording, in which he directly addressed German Chancellor Angela Merkel, saying that the attacks could follow Germany's federal election on September 27th. And you look at this guy, And it literally looks like the white Al-Qaeda we've all been hearing so much about. And right now, there's that controversy with this young guy who's supposedly a terrorist, and he was going to blow things up. And I'm reading in the paper he had marked out certain areas, big landmarks, fashion sites is out there. His father says he doesn't know what's going on. From the latest reports, they may have actually picked up the dad, and they're saying it was for making false statements to federal officials. It really feels like to me that they are hyping up the white Al-Qaeda. They want us to become more and more apt to the model of the terrorist. Because beforehand, you know, Al-Qaeda, remember Fox did this a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago at this point, where they were talking about blonde-haired, blue-eyed Al-Qaeda. Okay, now they want some kind of a terror attack or a face for this white Al-Qaeda outside of Adam Gadahn. Adam Gadahn doesn't always serve their purposes because people know that Adam Gadahn is the grandson of one of the, you know, most famous Mossad operatives out there. And I mean, if you don't understand that Adam Gadahn is working for intelligence agencies, you're very slow-witted indeed. That man is not Al-Qaeda. He does not believe what he's saying. He is there to provocateur the situation. But let's say another false flag attack does occur, and it's in a westernized nation such as Germany. It's in Europe. It's in Australia. It's in Canada. Well, then we're going to have to take note of this quote-unquote white Al-Qaeda, and everybody will become the enemy. If you think what happened after 9/11 is nightmarish, see what happens when more than 3,000 are killed in another nation. And this time it's white Al-Qaeda. It's not Bin Laden. I'm sure it'll be Bin Laden directed, since he's the boogeyman they love so much. We'll be back after this, taking your calls. 888-201-2244. It's the InfoWar with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com.
There is a war going on for your mind. Industry insiders sling test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, stop snitching. Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get stitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barred curtain, nor the craters beneath the draped flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the meteors these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind.
We are the insurgents.
We're going to go back to your calls in just a moment, but I really had to hit this story up because it really tells about not only our culture, but world culture and where we're going, where we're headed towards, and how we're becoming so disassociated from each other. I don't even want to read the headline. If you're watching PrisonPlanet.tv, you'll see the headline. But let me just read this for you. Best man Ryuichi Okinawa took his place before the assembled wedding guests, cleared his throat, and for the next few minutes spoke movingly about the bride and groom. But his speech omitted one crucial fact, that he knew the beaming couple only marginally better than the waiters and waitresses serving their wedding breakfast. From the moment the guests sat down until they belted out a final karaoke song of the evening, Ichinawa was part of a grand, though well-intentioned, deception. He is a professional stand-in, part of a growing service sector that rents out fake spouses, best men, relatives, friends, colleagues, boyfriends, and girlfriends to spare their clients blushes at social functions such as weddings and funerals. How lame and desperate do you have to be? I mean, how lame and desperate? You have to hire a best man for your wedding? How are you even having a wedding? If you have to hire, you don't have a dad or a brother or a cousin or an uncle or anybody, you hired a best man. This weekend, he adopted yet another guise as the uncle of a 12-year-old boy and his younger sister at a party sports day. He dutifully cheered them on, recorded their efforts on a handheld video camera, and joined the adult and child races. Look, folks, if you hire somebody to be your emotional friend or act like your dad or your wife, it's still an act. You're still going to be unfulfilled. See, as human beings, what we're supposed to do is develop relationships with people other than to try to deceive ourselves into believing that we need that and that it's normal to have somebody act like your uncle and record you at a sports game. or somebody act like your best friend at what's supposed to be one of the most important days of your life at a wedding. And this is out of Japan, by the way. I should read the title now. Lonely Japanese find solace in rent-a-friend agencies. But I can see this coming to the United States. I mean, we already have escort services. This just takes it to the next level. This takes it beyond sex. This takes it to an emotional level. If anyone asked, he would introduce himself as the child's uncle, perhaps engage in small talk, then discreetly slip away. He is unlikely to ever again set eyes on his nephew and niece and his sister, a divorcee whose children were being bullied at school about their absent father. See, oh, he's doing a good thing. He's stopping the bullies at the school. Give me a break. Ikenawa launched this Hagamashi Tai, I Want to Cheer You Up agency 3.5 years ago after abandoning plans to become a qualified counselor. After a successful debut making the wedding speech, the request came flooding in, saying Ikenawa, who takes days off from his job at a toy manufacturer to go on assignment. People wanted women, old and young people, all sorts, but of course I couldn't play all those roles myself. The affable, bespeeched 44-year-old now employs 30 agents of various ages and both sexes across Japan with the skills and personality to temporarily adopt a new identity. As the father of a boy who is in trouble at school, for instance, or the parents of a woman attending a formal matchmaking party. In recent months, demand has surged for bogus bosses among men who have lost their jobs, for colleagues among contract employees who never stay in the same job long enough to make friends. So they're also using it as a way to, like, pad their resume. I mean, this has Bad News Brown written all over it. Look, deal with reality. Make real friends. Spend time with your real family. We'll be back after this taking your calls. It's the Info Warrior.
Trouble so hard, ooh, Lord, my trouble so hard. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Ooh, Lord, my trouble so hard, ooh, Lord, my trouble so hard. Don't nobody know my.
All right, we're going to go back to your calls, and then in the long segment, I want to play this clip out of the CBC in Canada where they admit that we thought we were getting health care relief. Instead, they got body bags. And then we're also going to play a clip out of C-SPAN. I got to tell you, the C-SPAN callers have always been pretty hip to the globalist tricks. And you will find that a lot of them do bring up pertinent information and pertinent calls regarding globalism, regarding the quote-unquote New World Order and 9/11 truth. And Shertoff just gets nailed with call after call after call. So we're going to play some of that as well. Let's go to Forrest in West Virginia. Forrest, you're on the line.
How you doing, buddy, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, what I want to talk about is the issues and why a lot of people don't care.
Okay.
Or more people are trying to care because, like, things are going on or that people want to.
All right, so, I got Forrest. Forrest, your phone is just awful. I got to cut you, man. I know you're a good caller. I know you got good information, but I could only understand maybe one out of every three words. I really apologize. You know, sometimes those cell phone connections and even those IP phone connections are just awful. We're going to have to jump to the next caller. It's 888-201-2244. Matt in Arkansas. Matt, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. Big fan.
Thank you, man.
All right. I just kind of had an idea that I wanted to put out there. It seems like since the last 200 plus years, we've done nothing but punch holes and patch up holes in the theoretical dam of the U.S. government. And you know, while we fix these little holes all over this dam, it just seems like to me we should just rebuild it, redirect it for a temporary amount of time, and then just rebuild it.
Well, what do you think? Are you saying we need a new Constitution and Bill of Rights? Are you saying we have to go back to the Constitution and Bill of Rights fully and just really start again? And if we want certain policies and legislation, we start from the original Constitution and Bill of Rights? What's your position?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I say that we need to cut off the dangling beehive of the U.S. government and start afresh with something that actually helps people. Instead of takes from people, it seems like to me We've gone 180 degrees back to old England with King George. Why don't we?
Well, I agree, man. I mean, the taxation without representation and now this global carbon tax that's coming is something that the people of 1776 would never have stood for in any kind of way, shape, or form. And we are just seeing an evisceration of wealth and all sorts of, you know, regulations based. I mean, look how much you have to pay in property taxes, the IRS and their federal income tax, and now a carbon tax, all while they blast the dollar. I'm with you 100%. And by the way, while the special interests actually control most of Congress and 98-99% of Congress and the Senate through their special interests and lobbying money. So obviously we've gotten way away from what the founders intended.
It seems like, you know, maybe we can just ignore the system that's been put into place. There was a movie once where if you ignored somebody, they would disappear and they wouldn't have any power over you. I can't remember which one it was, but perhaps that would work today. It's ridiculous, and all these, you know, talking about shooting the president and just, you know, martial law and all this is ridiculous. Why don't we just ignore the whole thing and just go back to freedom and almost an anarchist society?
Well, you know, I don't know if anarchy is going to win over. I really feel like we do need some boundaries. We do need a rule of law. We do need a fair society. But we've gotten so far away from individual freedoms and responsibility that what we really have is not even a shell. Not even a shell of what Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and others intended. I really thank you for the call, Matt. Joe in Canada. Joe, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. Two things, Jason. Number one, I don't know if you remember me. I was the fellow that called into the Alex Jones show a year ago last June, one day when you were catching breath here, filling in for Alex, and I told you that President number 42 there, Slick Willie, was coming to give a talk in Edmonton and Calgary up here in my home province of Alberta.
I do think I remember that. Sure, sure.
I have to say that regretfully, you know, on account of personal matters, I did not get out to, I guess, maybe confront, maybe let alone even maybe bullhorn, you know, one of the slick smitties of the New World Order here.
And he is a slickens. He's got appealing on so many levels. He's pretty funny. He's good with people. I see him all the time on C-SPAN. And honestly, I thought that they were going to make him a more prominent member of the United Nations. But I think that they just jumped the shark and said, you know what, why go with Clinton when we can go with the current president? And then if he doesn't work out, then we can bring Clinton in as a savior. You know, Bill Clinton is one of the slickest politicians out there, is one of the slickest proponents for this global new world order. And for those that don't believe me, I am going to be throwing in some Clinton clips of the New World Order, him talking about that, even when he was running for president. I believe the quote that I have is he's talking about the upcoming election. And he said, you know, George Bush has invoked a new world order without enunciating a new purpose for America in this new age. And then way, way, way down the line, that's in 93, I think it was 05 or 06, he's in front of a group. And he's talking about the term New World Order and how George Bush used to use it all the time, and he thinks it's a great idea.
Yeah, and one other point that I want to squeeze in here, Jason. I don't know if you or Alex, and actually, technically, this is something I should be asking Alex Jones himself. There's this goody-goody two-shoe fathead down your neck of the woods down in Texas by the name of Dave Null, who's got this website out called idiotwars.com that is exclusively geared just toward, you know, to making a complete and total mockery of Alex Jones and, you know, lumping the, you know, sensible folks like yourself, myself, and Alex Jones, Michael Bednarik, in with all the space alien reptoid nutcases and the Holocaust deniers and the Jew haters. And my question is, have you ever heard of this idiotwars.com? And
that's the first time I've heard. Yeah, that's the first time I've heard of idiotwars.com, but of course there's screwloosechange.blogspot.com that does the same exact thing, that exclusively, you know, attacks 9/11 truth, exclusively attacks Alex Jones, always tries to put us into a position with no planers and anti-Semites and Holocaust denial. It's a tactic they use again and again and again. You see it, for instance, in the History Channel piece from a couple of years ago. What do they like to flash on screen? The websites that say Jews did 9/11. They have to associate us with that so that when somebody does come across our information, they may be slighted and refuse to look at that information based on the fact that they think that I believe that green reptoids from the nebulous star system of Sirius rule the world in a V-style-like, you know, TV show. So it doesn't shock me. I'll probably go check out that site for a LARF, but there's tons of them.
Territory, in other words.
Yeah, it's been done. It's going to continue to be done. They want us. Let me give you a more legitimate example in some people's eyes. Southern Poverty Law Center puts out publications, these like Newsweek-style magazines. Now, they can't put Alex Jones into the white power hate speech category. So what do? They make a subcategory called patriot sites. And then they have a little disclaimer that these patriot sites don't necessarily believe in Holocaust denial, blah, 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 blah. But then the rest of it is these guys are racist, they're bad, and they list Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and we're all bad, and Lou Dobbs is bad, and he's really a closet racist. And a lot of people respect the Southern Poverty Law Center. And then they breed that ignorance through websites like, I guess, this Idiot Wars and Screw Loose Change and all these other sites like that. So, you know, it's an old tactic and they're going to continue to do it. They don't want the actual message out there, so they're going to try to skew the message and definitely attack the messenger. I thank you for the call, Joe. Let's run to Tim in Texas. Tim, you're on the line.
Oh, hi. Hi, Jace. I have two questions for you if we have time.
Sure.
Fall of the Republic, it's not pre-sale yet. I can't pre-order this evening.
Not yet. What's the date today? The 20th of September?
I'm on InfoWars right now, and it won't let me. I'd like to go ahead and order it right now.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm pretty sure that they're launching. It may even be as soon as tomorrow, but within the week, they are launching the pre-sales. It will be shipping on the, I want to say 14th or 15th. It'll be available for PrisonPlanet.tv members on the 14th or 15th. But I know it's not up yet, but I would go check again tomorrow, and I think they're going to launch it. It's just been so hectic around here. You almost have to hire more people when we launch a new movie just in the shipping section. And, you know, we did just launch the pre-sale of Camp FEMA. And we have Camp FEMA here to sell as well. So, you know, we're going to be pretty busy with that. And we're hoping that a lot of people get these DVDs, burn these DVDs, hand them to their friends and family, and expose them to this information. What else you got for me?
Second question. I paid a little bit of attention to that Value Voters straw poll stuff from yesterday and saw that Huckabee was the winner.
I saw that too.
Paul was also on the list, but he didn't even rate in the top four or five of the winners of that Value Voters Summit, whatever they had. That that kind of surprised me because, more and more people seem to be waking up to this false left-right paradigm.
Well, sir, that is totally and completely controlled. I'm going to tell you, anytime that you see a poll with Ron Paul kind of just hanging out there, listen, Ron Paul is on the news all the time because they realized they had to rig the election against him. Remember when who was the front runner at first? At first it was Giuliani. Giuliani didn't work out. Oh, my God, who are we going to go with? Oh, well, maybe we'll go with McCain or Romney. But why don't we try to promote this Huckabee guy, too? And Huckabee got big-time promotion from the establishment. He started hitting the covers of all these magazines that really Ron Paul should have hit. He had the real grassroots support. So they kind of tried to prop Huckabee up as this kind of, like, grassroots, religious, you know, super guy that's going to come and save the Republican Party and overshadow Ron Paul. And they continue that. I mean, they gave him a show on Fox, for God's sakes. We're coming back after this. It's the Info War with Jason Vermes, 888-201-2244.
Well, come on, all of you big, strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books and pick up a gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Vermes. Remember, if you miss any of the show, you can go to theinfowarrior.com. Go grab the podcast. There's a big button. It said podcasts. You click on the podcast. Takes you to the MP3. You got the whole thing. Jump around. You heard the first hour. You didn't hear the second two. You caught the last 15 minutes. Go get the podcast, theinfowarrior.com. Now, I know this is the short segment, but I want to play this clip. Oh, but and if we could turn the annotations off on it, because I know the annotations are on, I could see it right now. The annotations button is that little corner button there. This is a clip where, again, the Canadian health services thought they were going to get aid for the quote-unquote swine flu. What did they send? They sent body bags. Body bags. Just unbelievable, folks. All right, here's the clip. It's out of the CBC. Body bags for H1N1 pandemic.
The specter of death from swine flu has become part of Canada's readiness plan. In a stunning development, Health Canada shipped body bags to at least two First Nations communities in Manitoba. The leaders there are shocked by the decision and offended on more than one level. The CBC's Lindsay Duncombe reports from Winnipeg.
For months, chiefs from northern Manitoba have been waiting for supplies from Health Canada to help fight the swine flu. They didn't ask for these.
We feel rejected. We're abandoned. As an isolated community.
The chief says body bags, 30 of them, were delivered to Wasagamac, possibly along with antivirals and hand sanitizer. At least two communities in northern Manitoba received body bag shipments, Wasagamac and God's River First Nation. Chiefs in other remote communities hit hard by swine flu in the spring are now going to their nursing stations to see if their communities received body bags. The Grand Chief for the area says it's culturally insensitive.
When you prepare death, obviously you're inviting death to come to your community, because we do not ever prepare for such matters.
This is just the latest in a series of conflicts between Manitoba's remote First Nations and Health Canada over swine flu. Chief Harper came to Winnipeg to stock up on hand sanitizer during the outbreak. It was later revealed the government delayed sending the product to First Nations because of its alcohol content and concern people would drink it.
Health Canada couldn't say how many communities received body bags, whether or not this is happening across the country, or if it's part of the pandemic plan. We asked the province of Manitoba if it happens to be stockpiling body bags for fears of swine flu deaths. It's not.
The federal health minister says the shipments are disturbing. She's ordered an immediate investigation.
This is a serious issue. It's very concerning to me, and once I know more of it, I will be able to provide you with information.
Both the NDP and the Liberals were quick to criticize.
But sending in body bags in the event of death is to say, look, we're not going to be able to help you, our hands are tied.
No one was at the Health Canada building in Winnipeg when Chief Jerry Knott got there to return the bags. He left them on the doorstep.
Return to sender.
Lindsay Duncombe, CBC News, Winnipeg.
Well, it feels good to see these people stand up and say, you know what, you can have your body bags back. But at the same time, it's almost like they're being tricked into believing it will be good to take the shot because the shot is going to stop them from dying. No, you take the shot, you take the nasal spray, you might end up in one of those bags. All right, let's try it with Forrest in West Virginia one more time. Forrest, go ahead.
Hey, Jason.
Hey,
yeah,
sound a lot better.
Tell you a story.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, me and my uncle and a neighbor, we were out at a bee yard getting honey, and we were having a conversation in the truck about cap and trade, and I was talking about how it's the biggest tax in history and how it's about eugenics, and then the guy working for us, he was saying, you know what, nobody gives a damn about that. I bet you like 9 out of 10 people just don't give a damn. You could be walking down the street and see a guy pleasuring himself. I'm making this G-rated. And he was saying, and ain't nobody going to care about it. So it got me thinking, well, yeah, there are a lot of people who don't care about this stuff. But when we build rapport with people and learn about what they're into and then talk to them about it, and then we let them know that what they're into, their hobbies, might be at stake of not being around anymore because of the New World Order plan for America, I think that'll like open up some hearts and minds. So, like,
well, I agree with you there 100%, man. I mean, again, if you can build a bridge, if you can find some common ground with somebody and you can make them realize how dire this is. I mean, I'm going to put it point blank for people, all right? I do this because the information that I have found shows me that the elite out there want a one-world government with a slaved chip population. And, oh, by the way, a lot of them are occultic pedophiles. Yeah, that's why I fight against this. And I can't just come up to somebody and say that. We've got to build a rapport. We can find some common ground. And eventually I can drop some of that knowledge. And hopefully they can take action as well. I thank you for the call. We're going to keep taking your calls. 888-201-2244.
I never remorse for you, no letters endorsing you. Pole position in the coffin is what it's costing you. The caucus bosses who control the fortunes through the mortgages of a culture with losses through and through. But it's the rebel arms. Godspeed with devil's charm. The shit made gets switch blades in every arm. And this way we ixnay on any harm. Cause snakes play and fakes lay like hidden bombs. We march in unison. The soul is true within eternal missions with just a lifetime to do it in.
Stronghold set it with tash it with. With batons. The rebel arms swarm and form like Voltron. Slash your old beast, you heard Mark of the East. Running through Copland, screaming, fuck the police. Hormones in the water, they acting out of order.
All right, like folks, we are back. I'm going to take Joseph in Texas. We'll go to JD, Rudy, and Matt in a moment. But after the Joseph call, we're going to play some of this Shertoff clip. Joseph, what's on your mind, my friend?
Hi there. I'm involved with the Weird Change in San Antonio, and I'm just wondering if, you know, the October 16th thing is coming up with Obama at A&M. If y'all can kind of, like, keep it in front of everybody, and also, I think it would be a good goal to have maybe, like, 10,000 DVDs going out there, you know, like was done in Arizona.
Yeah, but the guys that did that out in Arizona, they had their own campaign where, you know, they burned them themselves. I can tell you this, I mean, we encode everything.
I just talked to one of them there. They might be coming down here.
Well, that would be excellent. I mean, I know that I'm pretty sure that we're going to be trying to ship DVDs on the launch on the I'm not sure if it's the 16th that's coming out, 15th or the 14th. But the day that it comes out on the web, you are more than empowered to download the high quality version. You can either burn a DivX disc or you can use a video converter to make it into VOB files or MPEG-2, which is standard DVD format, and then burn DVDs from there. That will play on everybody's DVD player. We would encourage that kind of action.
Right. And but, you know, we're all pitching in. I guess what I'm saying is just like a push for everyone to actually do it, because people might be going out there but not realizing that, you know, we should bring certain things with us. You know, things that are common sense may not be common sense.
Well, you know what? People out there need to understand if they want to be fighting in this info war, they need the proper weapons and the proper tools. And I find the proper weapons and proper tools are DVDs, pamphlets, information, and really education on your own part and the ability to talk to people. You know, if you can't reach people verbally in that 15 to 30 second to maybe 5 minute encounter, how are you going to get them to not only take the DVD you're handing them? Because a lot of people will take the DVD and they'll just throw it away or throw it to the side. But if you make an impact with your knowledge, your statement, your rapport with a person, they're more than likely to throw it into the DVD player later that evening and take a look at the information. So there's a lot we can do. Fall of the Republic is shaping up to be an amazing movie, and I hope that people do get out there and do similar actions to what they did in Arizona. Appreciate the call, Joseph. Before we go to JD, Rudy, Matt, and others, this clip, what's it run, about 5-6 minutes, Hoosh? About 5-6? Oh, wow, it's actually 8. All right, so we're going to play a little bit of this. We might play the whole thing. Here it is, Michael Shertoff getting hit hard and getting hit often on C-SPAN.
Next, first call up for Michael Shertoff, St. Petersburg, Florida. William, Independent Line, hi.
Hello, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
You mentioned the September 10th, 2001 mindset. That made me nervous, so I think it should be September 9th. I was wondering if the missing $2 trillion plus that Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld reported on September 10th, 2001, you know, where those trillions went. Did you all ever find it?
I have to say, I must have missed that news report about the missing trillions. I do know that in the run-up to September 11th, the 9/11 Commission looked back at what had been done and what hadn't been done, and I think they found the key problem was collecting information and fusing information so that we could get the best possible picture of the threat we faced. You know, in the Cold War, we worried about bombers and missiles attacking the United States, and that's why we had radar. In the war involving terrorists, we don't have radar that's going to detect bombs and missiles that are going to prevent attacks. What we have is intelligence, and the ability to gather and analyze and integrate all that intelligence is the principal way in which we protect ourselves.
Your predecessor, Tom Ridge. And now Mark in Gwen, Michigan. You got your volume down, I know, and you can go ahead with your question for Secretary Chertoff.
Yes, hello, Mr. Chertoff.
Hello, Mark.
I wanted to let you know that I called the Department of Homeland Security and was trying to give them information. They connected me with the FBI, and as soon as I mentioned the wealthy elite, they cut me off. I called back the Department of Homeland Security and asked them, I'm trying to get the Department of Homeland Security some very important information. They connected me back to the FBI.
Mark, what is that important information? What is that important information?
That important information is called the wealthy elite. We have overwhelming evidence to prove that these people have taken control of the United States federal government. They are the ones that attacked us on 9/11.
So, Mr. Chertoff, if that man has information he wants to share, where would you recommend he send it?
Well, I think they did the right thing. They sent him to the FBI. If someone wants to allege a crime or a threat, usually the FBI is the first respondent. And, you know, they have to evaluate whether they think there's any actual evidence to proceed. But normally the FBI is very responsive if there's a serious, you know, credible piece of information.
What's your general viewpoint about people who think the federal government was involved in 9/11?
I think that that's in the same category as Holocaust denial and those people who still aren't convinced that President Obama was born in Hawaii. It's kind of a out there conspiracy theory which does not warrant a lot of attention.
Mandy in New Orleans, you're on with Michael Chertoff. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Would you please allow me a follow-up, because I know predictably what this man will answer to my questions. Mr. Chernoff, please do not feign ignorance on this, because if I can find this out, certainly you know it. Recently, 6 of the 10 9/11 commissioners have stated publicly that the 9/11 commission was hogwashed, that it was set up to fail, and it was a whitewash. Recently, Bethlehem Publications, 9 scientists that were given debris from the World Trade Centers have found evidence of nanothermite, a high-grade military explosive.
Okay, Mandy, thank you. We're going to leave it there because we know where you're going. Mr. Chertoff, you've addressed that question.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, this crops up from time to time, and it has been looked at thoroughly by everybody. Frankly, you have people who witnessed the planes going into the buildings. I mean, it's. I have to say, it's like Holocaust denial and the people who believe the president was not born in Hawaii. It's just a myth.
Orlando, Florida. Nelson, Democrat. Hi. Whoop. Nelson is gone, it appears, and we will move on to Hayesville, Georgia. Clyde, Independent.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Peter. Good Mr.
morning.
Chertoff.
Morning.
excuse me, I have 33 years in the military, 5 years working for the Department of Defense, and to this day I still see the cover-up on 9/11. We know that Able Danger, which infiltrated the terrorist activities, had photographs of the terrorists, had knew that there was they had a plan to attack targets, and a report went forward, set on either Clinton's desk, in, I believe it was 98-99, or Jamie Gorelick's desk, and it was never acted on.
You write in your book about call this a generational challenge. Mm-hmm. Unquestionably.
All right, let's just stop it right there, because that guy was probably my favorite caller. He does get hit up one more time, but notice they didn't even want to address Able Danger. I promise you, Able Danger does not come up. They don't want to address the fact that he's a 33-year veteran of the military, 5-year veteran of the Department of Defense, and he's bringing up Able Danger and the fact that they had the hijackers prior to 9/11, and they went to the FBI 70-plus times, and the FBI said, no thanks. It's kind of like when the neighbors called the CIA on Waleed Al-Sherry and they said, you know what? No big deal. You know, they don't call the cops. They call the CIA. Everything's normal. Everything's good. All right, let's continue with callers. JD in Canada, you are on the line, sir.
Hey, I'm in Toronto right now, and I actually come from a community with a lot of natives in it.
Okay.
And that clip that you showed was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life. I almost started crying.
Where they sent the body bags to the Manitoba tribe?
That was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, no, know, it happens all the time. I mean, the things that I've seen just in
they're
going
to be held accountable for that. I'm showing that to everyone I know. That is
well, you know what? They're already retracting.
I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that is they have been retracting and they've apologized. By the way,
I don't care. They should have never done it in the first place.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying that the political spin is, oh, we made a mistake and we're really sorry. And I'll be surprised if on the national news, I was pretty shocked that the CBC.
I don't
actually
think they made
it.
A mistake.
No, I don't think they made a mistake either, friend. What else you got for me, JD?
That's it. I just wanted to chime in about that because I thought I was discussing a college trip right away.
Hey, that's awesome. Send that clip out to everybody. I'm with you 100%. You just type in H1N1 body bags into YouTube, and you can get that clip in pretty good quality, and hopefully it'll wake some people up. And maybe you know what else you should be sending people when you send them a clip like that? Send them the 1979 60 Minutes where they talk about the 76 swine flu pandemic and people taking the shot, becoming quadriplegics, dying, getting Guillain-Barré. It's a good way to introduce people to the truth and get them very wary of taking a shot or a nasal spray that may in fact be harmful to their health. Let's go to Rudy in Canada. Rudy, you're on the line.
How you doing, Dave?
Good.
I was calling to talk about swine flu a little bit. I was thinking that one of the odd things is how much fear-mongering there is about these vaccinations, and although I don't want to take them myself, I see that there's going to be a kind of divide, that the powers are going to be able to separate the people who are loyal to the government from the people who distrust the government. And then the people who are loyal to the government are going to want all of us in camps because we won't take the vaccination and are possibly a health threat.
Well, I think that there will be a push to try to divide us. Divide and conquer is one of their biggest assets, and fear is another huge tool. So if they can make the people that did take the shots fear those who didn't, they may get behind a campaign. You know, if they start using buzzwords like, well, you know, this pandemic could cause a quarantine, and we don't want to quarantine everybody, so we need you to tell us if your neighbor's taking the shot. You know, I don't know. I've obviously watched the video of the woman saying that they were training for H1N1 traffic stops, and if you didn't take the shot, you're going to be quarantined and whisked away right there on the spot. I don't know if that's the case. I do know that they have trained for similar situations in the United States in the past 20 years. And I know we're hand in hand with Canada. I know that Canada is where they want to launch the H1N1 shot on the bar strips to get the 18 to 30-year-olds they don't think are going to roll their sleeves up willingly. So is it going to come to us against them and actual quarantines and actual martial law? I don't know. I guess it's going to be based on how successful they are in getting the dumbed-down, moronic public to take their medicine. And their medicine is poison, my friend. Go ahead.
Right. And the point I was making is that there's probably not going to be a 9/11 truther who would take the vaccination. So it's gonna single us out.
Well, I'm with you there. There are a couple 9/11 truthers that do drink the left Kool-Aid and think that Lord Obama is here to save us and will roll their sleeves up for a shot, but certainly not any of the info warriors out there that go beyond the 9/11 spectrum and are really taking a look at this false left-right paradigm. I appreciate the call, Rudy. Let's jump to Matt in California. Matt, you're online. Yes,
hi,
sir.
Jason. How you doing?
Good.
I'd like to talk about chemtrails for a second.
Okay, sure.
I live in the Bay Area on the peninsula, and they've been hitting us hard, real hard the past week or so. It's been kind of on and off the past couple months, but, you know, I've never seen it so thick over here before. And, you know, I mean, this is just one issue where you hear about government corruption, and over here in California, it's all the way over in District of Criminals. And when you see just eugenics and corruption right in front of your face being sprayed into your air, it's really hard to have a normal life. I guess my question is, do you feel that the high levels of barium are tied into this swine flu?
You know, a lot of people have asked me that, whether the aluminum and the high levels of barium are there for us to inhale and basically eviscerate our internal systems, our immunity to this sort of thing, and make it so that we become sicker, quicker, and maybe can't hold up against something as silly as the swine flu. I don't know if that's the case. It's a great possibility that this is not just weather modification. And yes, they are trying to break down our immunity so that we'll go to their, you know, to our pharmacists and buy their drugs and support the big business that is the pharmaceutical industry. It may be that it's there to take down our immunity so that if they have a max vaccination campaign, they'll have the population sustainability that they talk about. I stick to what I can prove. They are on record talking about shooting pollutants into the upper atmosphere to block the sun. We can see the videos of the planes that have done this. I can drive down the road and actually see the crosshatch patterns and the quote-unquote chemtrails or the persistent jet contrails, whatever you want to call them. They're not traditional contrails. And now we have this CARE program. I don't know if you were listening in the beginning of the show, but let me just read a little bit of this. Light seen in sky after cloud-making launch. Night shining clouds. Noctilucent clouds means night shining in Latin. Although difficult to spot with the naked eye, the clouds are best visible when Earth's surface is in darkness and sunlight from below the horizon illuminates the high altitude clouds. And they are now shooting rockets with NASA in command, to do this. Openly talking about weather modification and blocking the sun to save us from global warming. And you know that is going to be the public position when they finally admit to the fact that they are spraying us with chemtrails. It's for our own good. It's here to save us, Matt.
Yeah, just one more thing. I'm just, you know, to everybody listening, I think chemtrails is a good conversation starter. I mean, if they see death in their face and you tell them, you know, have you seen a contrail? You know what that is. I did that to a couple people on Friday, and it blew their mind, you know.
Yeah, and no, I agree, man. I completely agree, and that is a great way to get into it. You know, let me give you another example. I was in when I was on the shoot for Philadelphia, and I thank you for the call, Matt. When I was on the shoot for Philadelphia about a month and a half ago, it was outside, and there was just a huge line in the sky, and it was starting to expand, and I started talking about chemtrails to my friend Jay, and there was another young man there, and he said, well, you know that a plane just did that, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know that a plane just did that. I know that that's not a normal, because he didn't even understand that, yeah, a plane put that up, that's a bad thing. I'm like, don't you remember when we were kids, contrails just kind of followed the plane, and there was a little line in the sky, and it just kept following, and that was about it? And he's like, yeah, what those are artificial clouds that they do crosshatch patterns, and then it expands into the atmosphere. And he's like, oh, still didn't understand the significance of that. Still didn't understand the relevance. But at least I woke him up enough so that he thought to himself, oh, that is a little odd. And why are they doing that? And what is this program? Let me ask a question or two. We'll be back. It's the final segment of the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmes. Remember, if you missed any of the program this evening, you can go pick up the podcast over at theinfowarrior.com or go check out the video at prisonplanet.tv. Yes, that's right, folks. We do a three-hour program here, and no, we did not mention Kanye West and Taylor Swift. We don't care about the VMAs. It's pop culture Johnny nonsense. Unless someone's sneaking a little bit of truth in there, I'm uninterested. We're going to take a final caller in just a moment, but I want to remind people, you know, we talked about the collapse of the dollar. We talked about the upcoming G20. We talked about the dollar being dumped as the world reserve currency. And believe me, folks, that is going to wreak havoc on the United States of America and its citizens. I promise you that. We talked about Obama sealing the deal with the UN, becoming the first sitting president to head up the UN Security Council, and much, much more. Saitor in Indiana, you're on the line.
Burmes.
Yes, sir.
Been a while. Man, I know you just brought that VMA up, but I watched a creepy clip the other day of MTV wishes you a very Merry Christmas. I don't know if you've seen that, but it is creepy.
No,
and then
no.
You have Jack Black getting the whole audience to pray. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I've not.
Was this all from last?
Was that all from last week's VMA?
As everybody put their horns up and pray to the Dark Lord, and I was just like, "Oh my gosh," you know. And then one final point, man. If you check that out, it seemed like, man, if Charlie Sheen could get, you know, like a list of people that he could contact and say, "Hey, put your name on this, man. Back me on this," you know. I think that would really, you know, help it. If some of these people would just step up, like, "Hey, you have the courage to do this again and put your name and reputation on the line, you know, give me some back on this, you know, have these questions answered."
I feel you on that. It's just I feel like so many people, especially in the professional world, are so apprehensive to try to take a stand on anything, and especially 9/11 truth. I mean, you look at some of the people that still speak out against the falsehoods that the media and government portrayed on 9/11. I mean, Kevin Ryan lost his job at Underwriters Laboratories. Stephen Jones was forced into early retirement. Richard Gage has to deal with just, you would not believe what Richard Gage has to deal with. Van Jones, who I'm not a fan of, was forced to resign because he signed a 9/11 truth petition. So I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but I like the spirit. I like the idea. Final caller, let's go to Alex in Connecticut. Alex, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, what's going on? How you doing?
Good, man.
Good, good. Real quickly, I at the beach in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
I was at over there on the shore, and like a few months ago, and I noticed the clouds. It was a cloudy day in the morning. I'm like, man, that almost looks like what weatherwars.info looked like. Those new species of clouds.
Mm-hmm.
So I took some pictures. I just want to know if I could send that to you.
Sure,
I'm not
you absolutely
sure.
Can.
It looked really weird.
Well, dude, definitely send them to us. Showtips at Infowars.com or articles at Infowars.com. You can also try RobD at Infowars.com, and that's the best way to get information to us. I thank you for the call, Alex. Yeah, I mean, we talked about NASA just coming out and saying we're shooting rockets into the air, we're creating clouds, we're blocking the sun. We covered FCC coming to take over the internet under the guise of helping you, the consumer. No. They want internet too. They want more regulation than ever. They want more control over your life than you can possibly imagine. We covered the dollar at its lowest point. And they tried to spin it like it's a good thing. The dollar dropped to the lowest level in a year versus the euro as the Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke declaration that the recession is likely over. This led investors to sell U.S. currency and buy riskier assets. No. It's not to buy riskier assets, it's to dump the riskiest asset, which at this point is the U.S. dollar, because they are just bringing it down to Chinatown, baby. It's all about that special drawing rights unit, the SDR. Go check out the conversion table yourself. I am Jason Burmis. I'm here 6 to 9 Sundays, only at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. God bless you all.